I'm just going to go ahead and pray also, if you don't mind. Father, I just thank you for the word today. I thank you for the hearts and the minds that are here, Lord Jesus, that every soul, Father, that can hear my voice, Father, would be able to receive the word that's shared today. Lord, I know that we are further than we've ever been before, that we have not arrived, but we have certainly left, Lord, and we are on our way to magnifying your glory, to showing yourself to the world, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, as we get in the word today, as we hear testimony and as we are trained, Lord Jesus, I just ask that each and every one of us would be able to walk with you constantly, continually, fully aware of you around us and in us on a regular basis. That as we come against someone who is being robbed by the devil, Lord, in sickness or in health or in poverty, that Father, that we would rebuke that devourer, that we would take authority in the name of Jesus and set the captive free, that you, Father, working with us, would accomplish your good pleasure. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Was there seating assignment? Was there seating assignment? It just looks like there was somehow. There really looks like there was somehow. Praise the Lord. So let's just recap for a little bit. I've been speaking for 2 weeks. Today is my third week. And we started off with our identity. We started off in that finding out that Jesus has qualified us. That Jesus has made us complete, filled to the brim, no spot unfilled, that he walked in the flesh in the fullness of the Godhead. And we dwell in him, and he dwells in us, and so we are complete in him, absolutely nothing lacking. And we found out in Corinthians that he made us sufficient ministers. God did it. He made us competent in the Spirit. Not by our skill sets, not by our heritage, not by our birth of the flesh, by nothing that man has given us. It's God has made us equipped to minister. Amen? So we saw that very clearly on the first week, that we are absolutely qualified and like given a position of authority in a job. We may not have thought we deserved it, but the one in authority over us decided to promote us. And by his authority delegated to us, we now have the authority given by him. Amen or her. Therefore, if we were working with our peers and now we're over our peers, we have the authority of the one who gave us authority. But sometimes we need to work it out with our peers. There's a time of testing. Are we actually in authority? Can we back it up? Can we bring the goods? And there's an identity shift from being one of the crowd to the one in charge. Okay, so we talked about that the first week. Last week we talked about hating evil. To hate, God hates evil. He doesn't like it in any way, shape, or form. He has no grace for evil, none at all. And he wants us to equally hate it, just like he does. That we need to abhor it, detest it, thrust it away from us and have nothing to do with it. Amen? And when the devil is operating with his evil works in people's lives, like in healing, because they're sick, they're diseased, some organ failure's happening, something's going on, that's the devil ripping off a person, a body. And it's up to us to recognize it as a theft and a robbery and to hate what he's doing to people, regardless of what the people are doing. It's the evil, what's happening to them, that we learn how to hate. Amen? And that's a process, you guys. That is a process. Both of those things that I've taught are really a process because first of all, a lot of us are not used to really pressing in, ferreting out, and teaching our heart to be different, to think differently and to identify differently. And we have to take the time to do that. Amen? We really, really do. So hating evil was a big deal and the works of the devil. And we are told to what? Resist him, to withstand him, to be sober-minded, and to be vigilant against him. Right? Because our adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he may devour. Right? That word devour means to sip down or to drink down. And he just sticks a straw inside of you like a Pepsi Cola and just sucks the life right out of you through troubles and relationships and illnesses and all kinds of terrible things. And he just drinks us down. And so we need to learn how to stop that from happening. Amen? So today, what I want to talk about is the other side of hating evil, which is operating in compassion. Because we don't hate people. No matter how bad they are, we don't hate people. God made every single human being on purpose. He knew before the foundation of the world, before he ever put a star in the sky, that every one of us were going to be here. And he loves every one of us fully, no matter how bad we've been. Now, he hates that some of us love the things in this world, and he doesn't like that at all, and he's going to have to get rid of that, although it's reluctantly. He would like that number to be as small as possible. It's his will that every one of us would be saved. Amen? So, what I'm trying to get across to you in these messages is not so much to receive for ourselves, although that's important, but to actually have a heart to set other people free, to really actually make a difference in other people's lives. Amen? Not just hear a good word and agree with it, but actually do what it takes to start making traction and getting ground and bringing the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom of God, to the people around us. Amen? So they can see that the kingdom of God is real and it's actually in operation. Amen? So today we're going to talk about, one of the things we're going to talk about is Jesus, that he moved with compassion. Jesus really moved with compassion. He didn't just arbitrarily just cast out demons and lay hands on people. He was really walking in unison with the Father. They were aligned together as one. They were in fellowship, continuous fellowship, going about proving the kingdom of God is with men, right? And so there was nothing arbitrary about what Jesus was doing. It was very deliberate actions. Even when he looked like they weren't, they were. Everything had a purpose behind it. And so he would go around, and here's the real sign that the Holy Spirit is in us, beckoning us. And that's, he yearns on the inside of us. Something inside of us just has compassion. You ever been around somebody that was just incapable of taking care of themselves and you saw how they were just being devastated and your heart just went out to them? You just really felt something for them? And it's like you just want to do something for them? That's that compassion. That's that having pity, being merciful for that person. And Jesus was led by that. Let's look at some verses. Bruce, I'm going to take you out of order, and let's go to Mark first, chapter 1. Just as a show of hands, let me ask some questions. How many of you, and only raise your hands if you want to, are actually setting in your heart to make a difference, to be able to see results when you pray for people? Most of you, good, good. How many of you are just absorbing for yourself and you're believing God for healing in your own body? Me too. Okay, good. About half and half and some overlap. All right. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, it says, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Well, that doesn't make sense. Let me start from 40. Now a leopard came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be clean. As soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now that's something. Leprosy is a very contagious disease. You know, it's like us having somebody say, I have AIDS. You know, and if you touch me, you can catch it, or a bubonic plague or something. And it's a big deal. And Jesus says, I'm absolutely willing. And he laid hands right on the guy. So Jesus, being moved with compassion for this guy, healed him, right? I want to bring to light something. Jesus knew, he had a heart to know that when he was going to pray for somebody, he was getting results, right? He was going there or being there to actually deliver that person and set them free, right? Can we all agree that Jesus was purposed in his heart and was set that he's going to actually free the people he prays for? Okay? We have to get set like that too. That we're actually going to free the people when we lay our hands on them. We're going to actually accomplish it. We're not going to try. We're not going to see if it works. We're going to get the job done. Okay? That is a frame of mind. And we have to have that frame of mind. Okay? Now, it may not come every time and it may not come easily, but it's something you have to purpose in your heart. So here's something. I always go off script. Oh, well. Here's something. This is important. We have to decide in our hearts if God is with us or not. I'm just going to soberly just let that linger for a moment. We have to really settle it. Is God with you, backing you up? Or are you on your own and you're just hoping he's going to jump in sometime? You need to settle that in your heart. Really. If you don't actually believe that God is with you, going to back you up because you're actually going to get the job done, you need to write it down. You need to take it to your prayer closet. You need to get your scriptures. You need to pray in tongues. You need to talk to somebody else that you think has the goods and you want what they have through fellowshipping with like-minded people who have that way of thinking. You have to do whatever you need to do to settle that one thing. You need to settle that. If you've got the Spirit of God in you and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you know that you're a child of God, you have to settle it. Is God backing you up or not? Okay? Still pray for people in the meantime while you're working it out. Still pray in tongues. Still sing praises to God. Still walk with a thankful heart in a spirit of gratitude and bless, bless, bless people. But you need to settle that. Okay? You really need to settle that. Let's go on. Go with me to Matthew, if you will, please. And let's go to Matthew 20, verse 34. Here's another place where Jesus was moved with compassion. And this is about the two blind men receiving their sight. I'm just going to just start in verse 31. It says, then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. That's because those two guys were shouting out, you know, and trying to get Jesus' attention. And they said they should be quiet. But they cried out even more, saying, have mercy on us. Have mercy. Compassion is mercy, by the way, in case you don't know. Compassion is having mercy on us. O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still. He just stopped. And he called to them and said, what do you want me to do for you? That's a good thing that you should ask people when they come up for prayer. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. I want my eyes opened. Okay? So then Jesus had compassion, that yearning, that ache inside of him that just flowed out of him and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Okay? He had this empathy, this real desire to help people. A real desire to help people. I had to pray. I'll just tell you the truth. Okay, time to be transparent. Why not? I was in Bible college, and one of our teachers had a gift. And on her way in, she would see people's faces on her way in, driving from work. She lived about 25 minutes from the school that we went to, Karis Bible College. And she would drive in, and she'd pray in tongues, and she'd let the Lord show her people. And those are the people that she would have a word for that day. So that morning she was teaching, and I was not a part of the class, but I was assigned to her as her assistant, helping her in that class. And I was sitting on the back row because I had lots of jobs. And so I was just sitting on the back row where Trey is, and she's in this class, and she doesn't really know me yet because it's just beginning on these classes. And so she's looking around, and she brings up the two other people that the Lord showed her, and she goes, there's somebody else that the Lord showed me, and she's walking around, because I can see his face. I just don't know what his name is. And she's walking around looking, and I'm on the back row, and she goes, you, back there. And I go, me? She goes, yes, come up here. And so she brought me up to the front, and she had a word for me. And she says, on the way in today, I saw you. And I asked the Lord what he wanted me to tell you. And he showed me a picture of him having a belly laugh, just laughing his full belly, and said, he brings me so much joy. Ask him what he wants of me, and I'll give it to him. And she said that to me. And you know, I got to tell you, it just kind of took me back and stunned me for a minute, because my mind wasn't in that space at all. So I thought about it for a little while, and so then I just casually, you know, said, oh, I'm supposed to ask for wisdom. The Lord didn't laugh. He usually chuckles at my jokes. I tell really cheesy jokes, and he laughs. He likes it. He put it in me, I guess. Anyway, huh? It's compassion and mercy for his creation. Amen. So the thing is, and so I said that, and it was quiet. I mean, staunch quiet. And I knew he was serious. He wasn't playing a game. He was very serious. Ask what you want of me. I got to be honest with you. Because I was so sober after he didn't laugh at my joke, it took me 3 weeks to actually ask him anything. It took me 3 weeks because I knew he was very serious. So I thought, what do I really honestly want? And I remember, boy, here, I remember falling on the carpet. I was living in one of these cabins that they had in Manitou Springs, and I'd drive down to the school. And I remember falling on the floor in that cabin and just going, Lord, I've been to heaven. I've seen you face to face. I've had miracles happen. I've had special visitations and all these things you put on me. But I don't love people. I just tolerate people. And how can you call me into the ministry and show me all these great and mighty things if I don't even love people? I said, I've got to love people. You got to put your love in my heart. I want to be able to untie the knots in people's hearts so they can be free to love you and to be who you created them to be. I got to tell you, he gave me that very day. He put it in my heart, and I was changed that moment. And a gift was placed inside of me, that it's just a gift of God. Now, I had to develop it, and I had to be trained in it and all, but it's still there to this day. Because it was like the timing of the Lord with my heart's desire coming together in agreement, right? So, what would you ask of the Lord? Where's your stumbling block? Where's your wall that you come up to? Where's the place that the cliff is there and you just can't go any further? What is it that you want? from God and ask Him for it in honest sincerity. Make it your thing to go before Him and to get it, because it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. Is that true or not? It really is true. And so we need to walk this stuff out. We need to actually be the embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through our days, because we're one spirit with Him, right? Hess, to be one spirit with Him. And I think today is really, the Lord just really keeps bringing me back to this one thing. Is He really with us? Are we really working in unison with Him in the things that we're doing? Or are we on our own, hoping He's there backing us up? We have to settle that in our lives. We really need to settle that. Amen? So let me go on. So there's five scriptures, and I'll just do one more. Let's do Matthew 14:14, where it's, He was moved with compassion. He uses compassion a lot, but those five are where He actually was healing somebody because He was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14. I'm going to start with verse 13. It's the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus heard it, He departed from there by boat to a deserted place by Himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed Him on foot from the cities. 14. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So even though He had His stuff and He had what He had, He stopped everything because compassion changed the course of what He was doing. And compassion led Him to heal all the sick of that multitude that came out to see Him. I'll tell you, that's something. That I would like that even more. That when I see people that are hurting, that I would actually want to set them free. You know, remember last week I was talking about Fred the Mule? I didn't mean anything by coming to this spot and saying that, by the way. There was no correlation whatsoever. Yeah. None at all. But, you know, the mule got out. And, you know, the thing is, do you take it upon yourself to help your neighbor get his mule back in the yard and safe? Or do you just kind of go on your way and go, well, I hope somebody helps Fred get his mule back in. Hope somebody. It's like, you know, you see somebody on the side of the road and go, well, Lord, I hope somebody stops to help them. And you keep on driving, you know? And we have our reasons, we all have our stuff, but the thing is, would Jesus stop? Would Jesus help him? What's really important? Relationship over everything. It really is. People are the most important thing to God. Amen? Now, I know we all got busy schedules and that kind of stuff, and I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying relationship's important. So, let me move on. So, this compassion that Jesus uses, does it have to flow all the time for you to heal people? No, it doesn't. Because we don't heal by compassion. How do we heal? By faith, absolutely. We heal by faith, whether we feel it or not. Whether we actually believe it's going to work or not. Do you realize you don't have to believe it works? You just have to believe that it's true. You just have to believe that it's true, that the Spirit of God in you does it. You know, I got to tell you, I'll go into this a little bit today on some practical things. I got to tell you, there are times that I have prayed for people and I had no idea it would work. I was scared. I just was being obedient because I was on the spot, and they got totally healed. I've prayed for people and I put my whole heart into it. I visualized them being healed. I said all the right words and I apologized later. Nothing happened. It's not me, Mr. Holier Than Thou, Super Anointed. It is not my carnal mind. It's not my understanding, my intellect. It is the Spirit of God. And this thing prospers not at all. It has nothing to do with it. I have to renew my mind that it's not my mind that does it. I have to renew my mind that it's not me, it's Him. I have to renew my mind that it's Him leading me and we're working together, and I shut myself down and let Him be who He is. Amen? That's important in this thing. It has nothing to do with me. I just have to go, right? He just said, go into all the world. Any place in particular? No, go to all of it. Pick any spot. I want all of it. So any place you're at, that's a good place to do it, because I want all of it. So is there anyone you don't want healed? Nope, I want everybody in. I want, it's my will that everyone gets healed. Everyone gets saved. I want everyone in the kingdom of God. Which ones do you want me to get? As many as you can. How many can you get? Get that many. Bring as many as you can with you. Do you really mean as many? Yes, I want all of them. All of them. Bring them all. As many as you can. Bring all of them. Okay, Lord. Okay. So do I have to ask you if I should heal somebody? No, bring them in. Get them set straight, bring them in. But, I mean, there's some places you don't want me to go, right? Like Paul, you didn't want him to go to Asia, right? You discouraged him from doing that. I'll tell you if I want you to stop. Meanwhile, go. You have a green light. If I give you a red light, then you can stop. But otherwise, considered a green light, go. All right? I don't want you to stop and wait for me to tell you go. I want you to go, and I'll tell you if you need to stop. Is that fair? Is that confusing? What color light do we have?
Green,
green light, which means?
Go.
Where do we go to?
The whole world.
Anywhere. He wants the whole place. Pick a place. That's the right place. Amen? Amen. So let's continue. You know, I want to say that there are reasons that it doesn't work sometimes when you pray for people. And, you know, it would be unjust for me to say that it works every single time on every single person. Even though it's God's will that everybody be saved, there are some things that we can run into that end up putting a little glitch in the matrix, you know. And I want to tell you one thing that really throws people for a loop. And you know what that is? Unbelief. Unbelief really is a shipwrecker. It's a real shipwrecker. Let me read a scripture to you. Matthew 17, 19 and 20. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast it out? You remember the epileptic boy who was being thrown into the fire? And his dad was all freaking out about why, you know, we couldn't get this thing out of him. And so then the disciples afterwards go up to Jesus and say, Lord, why didn't it work for us? How come, you know, you told us to go and to do this and I followed your instructions and it didn't come out? How come? Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. That is the King James Version. So, do you have it in the New King James? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, from here to there. Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Okay. Is that true?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
The Bible says that's true. So then what's the variable? Me. I need to work it out with the Lord, don't I? Because if I don't believe, I need to be honest. I don't believe it. So here's one, I just want to help you. Sometimes you don't believe it. Just keep your mouth shut and lay hands on him anyway. Seriously, I'm serious, because sometimes the Holy Spirit just supernaturally does it regardless of you. I just want to let you know. But if you can believe God, I'll tell you, I have more confidence now than I've ever had before when I pray for sick people. I'm more willing. I'm more open. I'll do it instantly. I don't have to be coaxed into it. I remember years ago when people would ask me to come over and pray for them, I'm in the car asking the Lord to heal them before I get there. So I don't have to... Because I didn't know what to do. I just was doing it because I was told to do it, you know? I didn't have any confidence in it. I didn't know God was with me making it happen and backing it up. I thought I was on my own. And it was very, very disturbing to me to do it. Very disturbing. I got to a place where I didn't want to pray for anybody because I was so scared it wasn't going to work. And then I got to a place where I was seeing other people growing in it and I wasn't. And I thought, well, other people are growing and I'm not. I should probably step out in faith a little bit and start practicing this stuff. So then I started practicing it and I wasn't getting it. So you know what I did? I started watching videos of people that were getting it. And then I started really seeing how simple it was to where all of a sudden something clicked. You know, I've got a guy that I look at a lot on the internet. His name is Pete Cabrera Jr. Have you guys heard of him? His story is this. He saw that people could get healed, and for 2 years he prayed for everyone possible. Well, let me back up. He had terrible, terrible back problems. I mean, it was so bad. He had it for a couple of years. He couldn't even put on his own socks or shoes. It was so bad. And he could not do nothing. And so he had to have his wife help him get dressed, and he was just debilitated. And one day he was in church, and the minister prayed for him, and the pain left, totally left. And he was afraid to get up off of the altar because he was afraid the pain was going to come back. So he laid there, you know, 45 minutes after the church, everybody already left. His wife was waiting for him out in the foyer, and he finally got up, and he was afraid to say, "I'm healed." His wife said, "You okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm good." And he walked out pain-free. It took him several days to really believe he was healed. But he had no pain for those days. And he finally realized, he goes, "This is real. That guy prayed for me and I got healed. I want that." And so for 2 years he prayed for people. And you know, he prayed for everybody of every situation. He got told no, he prayed anyway. He was mocked by his family because he would pray at people. They go to the store with him and go, "Oh man, you're going to pray for everybody? Come on, give me a break." And out of those 2 years, you know what kind of results he got? You know how many people were healed? Zero people. Zero. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues and he loved God and he read his word. And he had no sin that he knew of in his life. Zero people. One day, he was going on the internet and looking at videos on people getting healed because he's finding out, he's ferreting out, how come this isn't working for me? The Word of God says it should be working for me. How come it's not? And he watched a Todd White video. And when he saw Todd just go up to somebody and go, "When I pray for you, you're going to be healed." And he walked up to him, prayed for the guy, and the guy was totally healed. Pete Cabrera goes, "What?" He wasn't wrestling with the devil and commanding and demanding and all this stuff. He goes, "What?" And he rewound it and watched it. Rewound it many, many times. There was two or three videos up. He watched each and every one of them. He took the notes, wrote down word for word what Todd White said, and he was working at a mission at a food soup kitchen, and he would pray every day for people. And so he got his note and he stuck it in his pocket and he walks up to the guys and he goes, "You guys," and he got up there and he says, "You guys, today's the day. Whoever I pray for is going to be completely healed, completely set free. So get up here right now if you want to be healed." So a few people, you know, that were eating their lunches came up there and they did the line. He prayed for the first guy and he goes, "What's the problem?" He goes, "It's my shoulder. It hurts really bad. I can't hardly move my arm." And Pete goes, "All right, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be completely healed right now." And he goes, gets out the little piece of paper and looks at the words on the paper and says word for word what Todd White said. "In Jesus' name." And he goes, "Test it. How is it?" The guy goes, It's healed. He goes, ah, quit lying to me. Tell me the truth. He goes, no, it's healed. He goes, is there pain? He says, no, the pain's gone. I'm healed. He goes, you're making it up. He goes, you called me up here. I'm not making it up. And he goes, you're serious. He goes, I'm serious. I'm healed. He goes to the next person, prayed for them. You're going to be completely set free in Jesus' name. Man, prayed for him. Boom, totally set. Everyone he prayed for got completely set free that day. Something changed. It wasn't anything, but when he got a piece of information that he didn't have before, when he saw that somebody else just by faith spoke it and it happened for them, the revelation of the Holy Spirit just fell on him and it just changed him. And so he's been getting results ever since. Every one of us need that time when it just dawns on us. Some of us it's gradually, some person it's all at once. Me, I got to tell you, I've been seeing more and more stuff happen, and it's because I've been stepping out bolder. My heart may not quite understand it and believe it, but my mouth is speaking faith, and I don't take my words back. I don't discount my words. I don't recall them. I don't doubt. I say it, and I let it be what it is. I let it be exactly what I said, and I leave it alone. And I've been seeing more and more results. Seriously. All of us need to go through our growing process. You know Todd White, his testimony? I'll share that one too. I've shared this before. He got healed. He used to be with a guy named Dan Muller, right? And he was like Dan Muller's little protege. And he was a drug addict, and he had some real problems in his life. Bad. He was an orphan child, so he was a thief and a liar and a robber and just drug addict. He had it bad, lived on the streets bad. And he got saved, and he got radically saved. And when Dan Muller prayed for him and delivered him, he says, can anybody do that? He goes, yes. Anybody that's born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes, I want to do that. He goes, all right, do it. So he set out to heal people. And he made a decision that every day he was going to pray for, lay hands on at least 10 to 12 people a day. So that's what his decision was. You know what? First day, nothing. Second day, nothing. Third day, nothing. Fourth day, nothing. 96th person later, a guy at a toll booth, working the toll booth, or, you know, the parking lot attendant guy in the little cage thing, he had back problems. And he says, okay, well, the Lord's going to heal you when I lay my hands on you. And right then, Todd White saw a picture of the guy's back getting healed. The Lord just flashed a picture of the guy's back getting healed. And with that word of knowledge and his obedience, guess what? First guy, totally healed right there on the spot. A little something that he didn't have, the Lord just showed him a picture, and boom, they worked together, and bang, he got it. So each one of us have to go through our threshold, whatever it is, that God is with us, backing us up. Whatever you need inside of you, get that. Meanwhile, keep praying for people. Keep laying hands on people. Still keep speaking faith. Keep doing what you know to do until that moment takes place, all right? In Jesus' name. All right. So, wow, it's 7 minutes. So let me go through this real quick. I want to give some practicals for those of you that are new to praying for people. And for those of you that have been praying for people, these are going to be second time around. And it doesn't bother me to bring this to your attention again in Jesus' name. I got that from Paul, all right? So here's some things. When somebody comes up to you for prayer, let's walk through it. When somebody comes up to you for prayer, do not assume you know what they want. Do not assume, because your eyes are telling you something, that that's what they want prayer for. It could be, but don't assume that. Let them tell you. Like I read to you, what is it you want from me? What do you want from me? Where's their faith at? What are they believing for? A lot of people just want magic. They don't want to take no responsibility. No, they don't want to do nothing. They don't want to believe God. They don't want to be accountable for anything. They just want you to have all the power and wham, set them free. Some people are like that. And some people get freed like that. Sometimes it doesn't. But who's to say who's got faith for what? You just do your part, amen? And just find out, what are they here for? I got a pain in my shoulder. You ask them, is it from 1 to 10, how much does it hurt? And give something so you can measure. They'll say, it's an 8 right now. I go, it's an 8. Okay, good. Let me ask you this. Can you move your arm? He'll say, only this far, and it hurts after I move it this far. Okay, range of motion. That's a second measuring device. Range of motion, mobility. Can they bend over? Can they squat? Whatever it is, can they move? So two indicators on how you can measure pain or where they're at on their problem, okay? So you find a measuring stick first. So then you get that, and then you lay hands on them. You don't even have to say anything. If you feel led to lay hands on them, you don't even have to lay hands on them. You can just command it to leave in Jesus' name if that's how you feel led to do it. How do you feel led to do it? Because after all, you're there with God backing you up and you're going to get the job done. So you're going to do it the way that gets the job done, right? God's creative. God is spontaneous. God is inspirational. The Holy Spirit is like that. So, you know, Jesus really didn't do it the same way very many times. He spoke to the fever and commanded the fever to leave, right? He spit in a guy's mouth, right? He made somebody do an action of picking up their mat and walking, right? He said, he answered a question, I'm willing. He laid hands on them and they were cured instantly by him laying their hands on them. There's no rule. One guy, he says, your faith has made him, your daughter, well. And the lady was in a different city and got well. Just by the word of it. God's creative. God, don't put him in a box. It's however he wants you to do, right? Elijah made a guy go dip in a river 7 times, you know? There's no rule. And listen, sometimes a person needs a miracle and not a healing, you know? And sometimes they need a recreated organ or something. Or we're believing for my wife that metal that's in her body would be dissolved and come out of her body and get that hardware out. There's miracles that need to take place too, you know? And we need to be able to follow the Holy Spirit and go spontaneously, whatever it is. He may tell you something that just doesn't make sense to your rational mind. Do that thing. You know, if he says, go around them 3 times, clap in your hands. Say, my 3rd time around, you're going to be healed. That's 2. 1 more time around, you're going to be totally healed when I get to the other side. Look out, here it comes. Wham! I'm healed. You don't know. You don't know. Don't put God in a box. Don't be a fool just for the sake of being a fool. Just how is the Holy Spirit wanting to do this? Since God's with us, backing us up, how does he want to pull it off? Right? And be with him, flowing with him, and let's do these things. So, after you've prayed, whether you have commanded that thing to leave, commanded the arm to be loosed, whatever, and then spoke to the body and tell it to respond and be healed, then you take a thermometer, check again. You say, now how the pain? It was an 8 before. How is it now? It's totally gone. Well, praise God. Let's give God the glory for that. Or it's a 4. Great. You're down to a 4. This really works, doesn't it? And then you get them in agreement. Yes, it does work. You want to go for a 0? Yes, I want to go for a 0. Get them moving. Get them on board with you. Get it down to a 0. And I say, pray until you're done or until they give up. Sometimes they call a 1 good enough, and they're kind of embarrassed because most people aren't used to staying up there for a while, especially if they know somebody else is in line, and they get embarrassed and they want you to just stop. Figure that out too. How far do you want to go and however the Lord's leading you. Amen. So then when you get that done, You get it down, you can send them on the way. What happens if it doesn't work when you pray? If they don't have any results, what do you do then? Huh? Do it again. Praise. How many times can you do it? Until you get the job done, or they ask you to stop. They say they're done. What's wrong with that? Remember the other last week when I told you about the flu? I prayed for some people and the flu jumped on me and my stomach was gut-wrenching, painfully hurt. Oh my gosh, was it bad? I decided that I wasn't going to go to the doctors. I did call the doctor's office, but they didn't answer on the fifth ring, so that was my cue that I'm not going to use the doctor. So I sat down at my desk in my office and I just said, Lord, what's in the way? What's going on? And I told you, I was listening to a John G. Lake thing, and he said, even you guys that have stomach problems won't believe God for a simple stomach ache. It convicted me. It's like, well, I better press in on this thing then. And I pressed in on it, and I got everything in my heart clean with God and everything as I can think of. And when I had everything done that I knew that could be done, I knew I had authority to tell it to leave. And it wasn't like fireworks. It was just to settle down knowing that it had to go. It was a lie, and it had to go. And it did. But it took about 4 hours of me working at it and working at it and working at it. What if I did it for 5 minutes and quit? You know, I would have had the full-blown thing, right? But I nailed it at the beginning, just stayed on it, stayed on it. Well, I walked around like this, doping it up for a few hours in the morning, going, what should I do? Oh, no, this thing's on me. I hear it's really bad, and I start hearing the words coming out of my mouth. I go, go figure. I just prayed for somebody. Now that thing leaped on me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, man. I had to suck it up and stop that stuff. Bring my thoughts up to a higher level. This is an attack. This is not what I need to walk in. Amen. So then, pray again, ask the Holy Spirit. Here's another thing, just the last thing I want to say before I let you go. If somebody's been sick for a while and they've come up several times for healing, this is what you need to do. You know the person. Ask them what scriptures they're standing on, especially if they're a Christian. What are you believing is going to happen? What scriptures do you have that you can stand on that you know this is going to actually take place when we pray for you? Somebody that has scriptures and they're standing on their scriptures and they're holding their scriptures as reality have a much better chance of seeing the fruit of that, especially if it's been lingering a long time. Amen? So it's okay to ask them. And then lastly, it's okay to pray in the Holy Spirit right there with them. If they're a Christian, let's pray in tongues for a minute and let's see what God's got to say for us. Because what we're doing is we're figuring it out. How do we get the job done here? How do we actually pull this off right now? Last one, Pete Cabrera. He was at the place where he was getting a lot of good results, so he knew he just had to point his finger at people and it would work because that's just where he was at in his faith. And this woman had a bone out in her neck, and her neck was bulging. I mean, you could physically see this big old massive bulge. It was horrible to look at. And she wasn't a Christian. She had no faith at all. She didn't know anything about faith. She just had this big thing. And he said, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to point my finger at your neck, and you're going to feel the bones move back into place, and your neck's going to be healed. Well, he stuck with it, and he said, all right, try this. He was recording it. He did it for an hour. For an hour, she stayed with him. And he goes, what do you think's going to happen? She says, I don't know, nothing. I don't know. And he goes, it's going to come. And you know what? Nothing happened for an hour, and nothing happened. What would you have done? An hour, and nothing happened. What would you have done? Think about it. You know what he did? Prayed in the Spirit. Said, I'm going to show her faith videos of other people getting healed. I'm going to have her watch some videos of other people getting healed so she can know, because she doesn't know, that people can get healed by just praying for them or speaking over it. So he showed her a few videos. When she was done with a few videos, then he stood her up and says, now what's going to happen when I point? She goes, I'm going to get healed. They have it on video. He says, in the name of Jesus. I mean, he was right here. In the name of Jesus. Bones go back in Jesus' name. You could watch the neck go, and that big old bulge just went back to normal right then and there. I got excited about that one, you guys. I got excited because I would have given up way before an hour. Way before an hour I would have given up. So the thing is, what is it going to take for us to get the job done? Amen? And that's where we need to go with. We have been qualified. We are sufficient. We are complete in Him. We hate evil. We are going to stop the devil from ripping people off. We do have compassion for people and want to see them healed. So now it's a matter of staying power. Just staying in there and getting results. Finding a way to get results. Amen. And I'll tell you, when I had a job, and I was the first time I was a boss and a manager, and I had people under me, and they didn't listen to me. Me going home and crying that my people won't do what I tell them to do. Don't they know I'm the boss? Don't they know I have authority? Didn't do anything to the supervisor above me. Didn't cut any mustard at all. I had to figure it out. And so I had to do some things. I had sleepless nights. I had fearful days. I had to figure it out. How to start a mind for this business, to see it grow, and to have these employees be successful doing their jobs. I had to figure it out. And when I did, I became an adequate boss. I became an okay boss. I wasn't fantastic, but I wasn't horrible. I was just adequate, you know? And then I went to a different job. So did you get something good? Yes. Amen.